Hey girl, hey! Today I want to share with you my most recent plight and what I'm learning while staying the course and walking this journey out. This is the Queen Over Queen podcast with Tyvette Brown, where we glow by understanding our true identity as the fearfully and wonderfully created queens we really are. Did you know that there are two queens out here in these streets? The queen with an E-E and the Q-U-E-A-N. Now, you and I both know that there can only be one, right? Exactly. This podcast was created with your beautiful self in mind. So grab your favorite journal and pen, and let's get to choosing our vows wisely. I am your host, Tyvette Brown, and welcome to the Queen Over Queen podcast. Welcome, welcome to episode 4 of the Queen Over Queen podcast. I'm Tyvette Brown, and I'm so glad you chose to tune in to today's podcast. I had mentioned in the last episode that I would probably share some of my cancer journey with you in this episode. So today, this is what I will be doing. But before I do, sis, you know I have that question for you. Are you choosing your vows wisely? I pray that you are. And if not, it's okay, because there's no judgment for you over here, only encouragement to pick up your crown, your sword, and pick up your pearls, shake yourself off, and get back to it. You are a queen. That's first and foremost. And your flaws and mistakes, they do not define you. Now, if this is not the first episode you've listened to of this podcast, then you've heard me make reference to your crown, sword, and pearls. If you'd like to know a little more about why I mentioned those essentials for a queen, then head over to consciousqueen.me. That's consciousqueen.me. And check out our blog. And you can feel free to leave your feedback in the contact me section there, as well as shop in the Conscious Queen boutique. I give away a free printable download every month. And the merch over there is nice, if I may say so myself. The Wake Up Queen mug and the t-shirt, they are my current favorites. I'm very proud of that design, and I absolutely love it. So it's time now to get into my cancer survival journey. And yes, get your journal and your pen, because I learned a lot, and I do believe that what I share with you today is going to help you as well in whatever part of your life journey you're in. So first of all, I want to say that I am cancer free, and I give all glory and honor to God for that. In talking about my testimony of how I survived a breast cancer diagnosis, I do believe that it's necessary for me to start at a conversation that I had with the Father right as we were entering in 2020, the year 2020. I was reading Psalms 119, and I came across these three verses. And the first verse was, it was Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. And then Psalm 119, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And the third verse I came across that stuck out to me that day was Psalm chapter 119, verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Now, upon reading verse 67, I had felt like, not going to be me, Lord. Nope, not this year. I will not be going astray, so therefore I will not be afflicted, because I am going to keep your word. And so I continued to read, and when I got to verse 71, I still stood by my disposition and just kind of brushed over the whole it is good part, where it said it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I was like, again, it's just not going to be me. This is just not the way my 2020 is going to look. I had a determination to just not be the one, y'all. And I felt like I had been through enough already and that I was just ready to move forward. But when I read verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thou judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me, I was stumped, because the verse didn't have a cause and effect scenario that included my involvement. There was no, you did this because I did that. So I kind of brushed that aside. Like, I put it aside. Like, I brushed over it. I felt like that doesn't really apply to me. And it didn't fit the newly refreshed vision of what my 2020 was going to be. Have you ever done that? Have you ever, like, you know, you read the Bible and you would read certain scriptures and you get to one particular scripture and you're just like, that doesn't apply to me on today. And then you just move, you move along. That's basically what I was doing. It was like, Lord, your word is definitely relevant, but this particular scripture does not apply to me. And that's okay. But while reading the scriptures, I heard the Lord say to me, stay the course. And so at that point, I felt validated in my disposition. Like, it's not going to be me that's going to be afflicted. I felt like the Father was saying that as long as I stay the course, I won't be afflicted. Boy, was I wrong. I'm telling you, there's no better gatherer than the gatherer himself, Yahweh. All right? Talk about getting your life together. He will help. So I want you to write this down. The first thing is stay the course. That is the first thing that I want you to write down. That's the first thing that I want to share with you. And this was very important to me. This is what I believe started this chapter of my journey to cancer survival. So April of 2020, I received the call that I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer, and it was a triple negative cancer diagnosis, and it was aggressive. The doctors had decided that chemotherapy was the best option to go with first versus having surgery. My initial thoughts at this news was definitely unbelief, and I was numb, but I was more unbelieving of the news. I had felt like there was no way, with all the things I was currently dealing with, one being my oldest son waiting on the list for a new liver, that this plight would be assigned to my life. You know, not me, Lord, like, you got the wrong address. Like, are you sure you meant for this to come to my house today? So I had an appointment for a full body scan to see if the cancer had spread to any other part of my body because of how aggressive it was. And it was also the official staging of the cancer. And in that time between the initial call and the actual appointment, I applied the godly scriptural things, the words of prayers, affirmations, you know, to my situation. Like, I believe that even after the biopsy showed cancer, that there would still be time for that diagnosis to be wrong or misread. So that's just basically where I was. I felt like I had that small window to just pray and believe God and be like, you know what? The diagnosis came back. as Cancer, but I'm declaring that between this call that I just got and when that scan comes through, the results come through, that it will not be Cancer. And so that's basically what I held on to. But then everything came back positive for Cancer. And so at that point, my heart dropped. My heart dropped for real. One thing that helped keep my mind stable in the very beginning of this process were three words that my first lady said to me. And those words I want to leave with you as well. And it was, don't think outcome. You can actually write that down if you want to. Don't think outcome. Listen, y'all, my mind wanted to think about the outcome so bad. Like, I could literally see these thoughts running towards me. I could feel them coming upon me about my sons and my husband and all of the whatabouts and what ifs. But the timing of our conversation that we had, that was only God. God used her to literally intercept all of what the enemy had planned to just bombard my very being with. So for that, I am forever grateful. Because of her words, I couldn't even formulate those thoughts at that moment. And I had the fortitude to fight them. And so I do want to stop here. I want to just throw this out there to all of you who have dealt with this. We've all been in this space where someone would come across our mind and we would just think it's a fleeting thought and we kind of push it off. Let me encourage you to do something about it. I know that, yes, a text message is very impersonal to, you know, in the eyes of a lot of people. But still in that, don't underestimate the text. Don't underestimate the call. Don't underestimate checking in with your sister, checking in with your brother. Don't underestimate that. If they come across your mind and you have a way to just reach out and contact them, even if you don't know anything that they're going through, just shoot them a text, give them a call and say, hey, the Lord put you across my heart or put you on my mind today. I just wanted to let you know that I'm thinking about you, that I love you, something, because you never know in that moment. It's not always about the big lights, the flashing lights, about the most amazing and profound way that you were used by the Lord to help someone else. Sometimes it's just in that little act of obedience, just real small, tiny gestures that make a world of a difference in someone's life. And it always creates that ripple effect, and other people's lives are changed just by your smile, by a simple text, a call, a wave, hello, a compliment. These things make a difference. So I just wanted to really kind of press in on that, because just by her calling at the time that she did and just giving me those three words, don't think outcome, that literally blessed my whole entire day. And it definitely, I believe, saved my life in that moment. So my question for the Lord and my thoughts became, what now, Lord? After the diagnosis was confirmed, you know, even after the praying and the laying on of the hands and all of those things, I was like, what now, Lord? And this is where I began to learn so much about myself and my father and how he gets down, y'all. So I went through chemotherapy from April to the end of September. And during that time of chemotherapy, I had mustered the strength to tell a few people about what I was going through. I didn't really want to share because, number one, I wanted to get through it. And I just wanted it to be done and over with. And then, you know, of course, just tell others, yeah, I had it and now it's gone. Glory to God. And number two, I couldn't bear the weight of the responses others would have at hearing that kind of news. So I stayed low key for a short minute. But listen, it was a very, very short minute. I was finishing up a book that I was reading that a mother in my church had given to me a while back. It was called The Audacity of Prayer. And I read a part in there that talked about creative miracles. So in my prayer closet, I asked the Father, what creative miracle will you be performing in my life and that of my son's life? And the Father said quite plainly to me, he said, you want a miracle without the sound. You want a miracle, but without the noise. And you want this to all just go away quickly and quietly. Well, where's the miracle in that? And where's my glory in that? I have a purpose and I have a plan with all of this that is beyond what you could even imagine. And so this is my miracle to perform for you, but it's on my terms. And, you know, it was up to me to accept those terms. So, of course, I'm looking around like, obviously, I can't save my own life by my own hand. So, of course, I accepted his terms because, you know, I can't save my own life. I'm out here with this diagnosis. What am I going to do? Like, I can't. So the next thing the Father said to me from that conversation was, don't waste your plight. Now, remember, the first thing he said was stay the course. He was preparing me then. Now he was saying, and I want you to write this down, don't waste your plight. Listen, I love journals. And between you and me, I could never have too many. There's always an opportunity to use one for writing, for note-taking, to-do lists, vision planning, gift-giving, you name it. And Tybee B's Journal makes all of these things fun and easy to do. Tybee B's Journals are affordable, they're functional, they make great gifts, and they're available in a variety of designs. Now, if you have Amazon Prime, you can get these journals in a couple of days or so with their free 2-day shipping. Talk about a last minute gift giving lifesaver, right? To get these journals, you can simply visit tyveeb.com. That's tyveeb.com. Or you can go to amazon.com and put my name, Tybette Brown, that's T-Y-B-E-T-T-E, Brown, in the search bar. And it will take you right to my page. So go ahead on over and grab you a Tybee B journal today. And if you get a chance, check out our newly released wellness journal. I think you're going to love it. Now, back to the podcast. Sis, don't waste your plate. Have you ever had the feeling that all you had done, all that you had poured your life, time, and resources into had just disappeared into the darkness as if it never happened? Do you know what that feels like? It's the worst feeling ever. That's just a glimpse of how I believe our Father feels when we don't share what we're going through or the testimony of how we overcame. I know that with some things, we are instructed by the Father to not share, or the timing is not right, or we're still healing from it. You know, I get that. I understand that this is a case by case situation, but I'm talking in general, or even when Yahweh says share, but for whatever reason, we just don't. Can you imagine the glory robbed of the Father? I always say that the Lord knows how to kill 1,000 birds with one stone. I had to take a really hard look at those very words when I was going through my own plight. But I began to see how others were challenged by the Lord in their own lives in different ways just by hearing of my plight. If the Lord tells you to open your mouth, just do it. Be obedient and leave the consequences to him. Let him kill the 1,000 birds. You just be the stone he throws to do it. So that's the third thing I want you to write down. Be obedient and leave the consequences to God. So I went through with chemotherapy, and when I was confronted with the news that because of a genetic mutation, it was recommended strongly that I have a double mastectomy. My first response was a strong no. There was no way that I had come this far just to experience this. By this time, I had felt that I had endured enough, and this is where my season of suffering with a cancer diagnosis is over. That's how I felt, point blank and period, with a T. So I said no to surgery. I was talking to my husband one day, and I had a lot to say about a lot of things. And he asked me, you know, well, are you talking to the Lord or are you just talking? And listen, y'all, that sent my blood boiling. And I did become indignant, and I answered him with a whole entire neck rolling attitude that I most definitely talk to the Lord. Like, what you mean? What you mean? It's like, almost like that situation with Hannah, and when she went to the temple to pray, and she was like very sorrowful, and she was praying, and the priest Eli came to her and asked her if she was drunk. Oh, are you kidding me? I am here, like, in the midst of this, and you're asking me if I'm drunk? You got to be kidding me. So it was just one of those moments, right? So anyway, I became indignant, right? And I answered him, like I said, with an attitude that I do be talking to the Lord. And he encouraged me to talk directly to the Father and see what he says about this surgery. So I did. I asked the Father about the surgery, and in only the way that the Father can do, he answered me about the surgery, and he answered me about the talking as well, of which that was a question I don't even really remember asking him. So I thought that was really cute of him to do so. But he said to me, when I come to pray or talk to him, instead of talking to him, I do these three things instead: rationalization, speculation, and process of elimination. He said, you come into your prayer closet, you do these three things, and then you leave. You don't take the time to ask or inquire of me directly. And I want you to engage. I want to answer your questions and your requests for clarity and direction, but you don't give me a chance. You talk it out amongst yourself, and then you leave with the solution that you think is best. So when he said that, I mean, I had no response. Like, I just sat there quiet. So I'm passing this on to you. Write this down. Number four. Listen, I got a lot of stuff for you to write down. Queen, talk to God directly. No rationalization, speculation, or process of elimination. Okay? Talk to God directly. No rationalization, no speculation, no process of elimination. Now, as far as surgery was concerned, I had scheduled an appointment for a second opinion, and the Lord sent me to the scripture before this appointment. He gave me the scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And that says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So I thought, bet, the doctor is going to let me know that my request to the Father had been answered by telling me that I don't need to have a double mastectomy. Well, I get in the doctor's office and she said that I definitely needed to have the double mastectomy. Now listen, y'all, I was shook. I went back to the father with the scripture he gave me and I was like, you know, Lord, you said, but you said. And his response to me was for me to read that scripture again. He said, I said that I would keep your heart and mind with my peace. That doesn't mean that I will answer or move in the way you want or in the way that you thought or in the way that you anticipated for me to move. And that was that was eye-opening. And I have to say that it was just profound. It was a very profound moment for me. I sat in that doctor's office for 20 minutes as the regular surgeon, the breast surgeon, came together with the plastic surgeon, and they were trying to schedule out my surgery date and, you know, coordinate some things. And I was sitting in that doctor's office by myself for 20 minutes looking at this scripture in my hand. And I couldn't believe it. But I tell you what, I did have peace. I can tell you that with certainty. Like, I had peace. And it was peace that I could not explain in that moment. I do want to stop right here. This is going to be a two-part situation. That's what it's looking like. So I just want to say to you that, you know, I shared a lot with you today so far, and I'm hoping that it encourages you to stay the course. Don't think outcome. Don't waste your plight. Be obedient. Leave the consequences to God. Talk to God directly. You know, leave out the rationalization, speculation, and the process of elimination. And be honest with God. When you talk to him directly, like, be honest with him. Talk to him. Share your feelings. Share what you are really thinking, what you are really feeling. He can handle it. Listen, sis, he can handle it. He's our Father, and he can handle it. I want you to know that you are blessed. You are definitely well-favored. You're beautiful on the inside and the outside. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm so glad that you're here. And the world is waiting on you, sis. With that being said, I love you, Queen. You are the answer to my prayer. And until next time, choose your vows wisely. I'll see you back here for part two. Take care. You have been listening to the Queen Over Queen podcast with Tyvette Brown. If you've enjoyed today's podcast, give us a rating and your feedback, please. We'd love to hear from you. You can follow us at consciousqueen.me on Instagram, and make sure you visit our website, consciousqueen.me, to grab this month's freebie, From One Queen to Another, and to shop in our Conscious Queen boutique. Now, until the next time we chat it up right here, Queen, choose your vows wisely. I'll see you later.